Amen. I appreciate that special, and his name is great. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. We've been studying about the family the past several weeks, and last week we celebrated Mother's Day, and hopefully all the moms were treated right, had a good time, and we've been very blessed with the families in our church, and we're so thankful. We've talked about how important a family is and what a blessing it is to have a family. Family doesn't really begin. A lot of people think family begins when you start having children. Really, family begins when you get married. A man that finds a wife has found a good thing and has found favor of the Lord. And so it's a grace of God, a blessing, and certainly as I look around the room this morning, I can see that, God's had grace Amen. On a lot of you fellas Amen. For the wives that God has given you. Amen. You. And I have to say the same thing. I don't have to. She's not in here right now, but I'm going to say it anyway. No, I've been very blessed with my wife, and every one of us that have found a wife have found a good thing. And we are blessed of God. We've talked about how important that is. We talked about the importance of building our families on and centering our families around the Word of God and how vital it is. There's not going to be any blessing from God outside of His Word. He's given us His Word, and we want to read the Bible and study the Bible, and we want to diligently teach our children what the Word of God says. When you do that, when we come in and when we go out, when we lie down, when we rise up, every moment of every day is an opportunity for us to pass on those truths. So grandma and grandpa, mom, dad, everyone who has children in their lives, we have a responsibility to teach them. And if we train them in the way that they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from the Word of God. And it's really important that you understand what that verse actually says, because most of the time I hear people say, well, that means that the wayward child who grew up in church, he'll get out there, but he'll come back one day. That may be true if you give them that foundation. Maybe they will come back, and I've seen that a lot, but that's not at all what Proverbs 22:6 says. It's not what it says at all. It doesn't say anything at all about coming back. It says they won't depart. Amen. And see, when we train up a child in the way that they should go, they won't depart from it even when they're old. In other words, they will stay faithful to the Word of God. Now, a lot of people don't like that preaching because that makes it really convicting. Means if my children go away from the Lord, that there may be some responsibility on me that I did not train them up in the right way. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough. And I understand that. I also understand that that's a proverb. It's a proverbial truth. And there are exceptions sometimes to those proverbial truths. And sometimes you can do everything that you can possibly do, and eventually a child becomes an adult. They make their own decisions, and they can depart from the faith. But we need to understand our responsibility as parents to do everything that we can to instill the Word of God in them and by example live for Christ. Amen. We can't be one thing at church and another thing at home and expect that we've trained up our children in the way that they should go. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. But when we live for Him faithfully in church and out of church, then we can do that, and we can claim those promises of God. We want to make sure that we get this foundation right of the Word of God. We talked about the importance of faith. And the next step that comes after faith is what we're going to talk about today. We want to talk about being a family of hope. Hope is something that's desperately needed in the world today. Amen. We need hope. Amen. We need hope in our families. We need hope in our lives. We need hope in our careers. We need hope in our health. In every aspect of our lives, hope changes everything. Amen. Now, most people in the world all want the same things, are after the same things. Zig Ziglar used to say that everybody basically wants the same things. They want to be happy, to be healthy, to be reasonably prosperous. Now, some people want to be unreasonably prosperous, but we all want to be reasonably prosperous. We want to be secure, have friends, have peace of mind, have good family relationships, and we want to have hope that the future is going to be even better. Everywhere you go in the world, people want those basic things. But let me ask you this. How happy can you be if you don't have any hope? How healthy would you be if you had no hope? How prosperous could you possibly be if you don't have any hope? How secure can you be if you don't have any hope? You see, the key to all of those things that people are wanting comes from hope. And I want you to understand this right from the onset today. There is no real hope apart from God. Now, you can hope to be healthy, but that's ultimately in God's hands. You can hope to be prosperous, but that's ultimately in God's hands, because you can have a desire to be rich and go after those things, but the Bible says that money, it grows wings and flies away. And how true is that proverb? I mean, you can't hold on to it. It just has a way of escaping. All of those things that we would hope for, if our hope is outside of God, then we really have no hope. And so what I'm going to talk to you about today is not about wishing really, really hard. What I'm talking to you about today is trusting God. And because of our trust in the promises of God's word, then we have genuine biblical hope. And we want to take that and apply it to our families today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to stand together and read God's word. Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us together to worship you today, for all the blessings you've given us internally and externally. And Father, I thank you for this time that we've come to now to open the Holy Scriptures, to read your word. And Father, I pray that as it is read this morning, you would give us ears to hear, that we would hear and understand and obey your word today. Father, simply help us to trust and to obey. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that are lacking in hope today. The families and marriages that are lacking hope. The workman that is lacking hope. The mom or the dad that's lacking hope. Grandma or grandpa that is lacking hope. Father, I pray for each one here that you would give hope today, and that that hope would grow. And Father, help us to remember that our hope is not resting in ourselves. Our hope is not resting in our circumstances, but our hope rests in you. Please bless your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me now? And let's read Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Please be seated. I want you to see how this transitions from the faith that we put in God, that we believe His Word, that we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and because of that faith in the right thing. Now remember, our faith is only as good as the object of that faith. You can believe in yourself, but you'll be disappointed. You can believe in other people, but you'll be disappointed. You can believe in your government if you want to, but you're going to be disappointed. You can believe in the economy. You can believe in the power of the mighty United States dollar if you want to, but all of those things are going to fail. All of those things are going to fall short. But when your faith is in the God of the Bible, then your faith is in something that matters, the only thing that matters. And so when you put your faith in the Word of God and the God of the Word, then that faith leads to something beautiful, and that's hope. Amen. Hope is a wonderful thing. Amen. The Bible tells us that if we don't have hope, that we can be very, very discouraged. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." And most of us have experienced disappointment and discouragement. We hope for something that didn't happen. But I'm telling you, when you base your hope in the Word of God and the God of the Word, then your hope will not be disappointed. Your hope and your desire will come when it's based on Him and His promises. Jesus live with great desire. When he had the last, what we call the Last Supper with his disciples, he said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Jesus had hope. He had desire. He had things that he looked forward to and longed for. And he knew that they would come to pass. And he had that hope for those things to take place. And that's what hope is. Before we get into really talking about hope, though, I want you to notice that because of our faith, we have a couple of beautiful things. So we've got to start with the faith, and it gives us, first of all, acceptance. Notice in verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have acceptance before God today because of our faith in Jesus. You cannot get to heaven by being good. You're not going to come into the presence of God. You're not going to make it to heaven one day by living a certain way, by doing certain things, by going to church or getting baptized or giving your tithes or any of the rest of it is not going to get you to heaven. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we have access and acceptance before God. Amen. We're accepted. What does that mean? Well, we're justified. Before you were justified, you were unjust. Before you were made right before God, you were not right before God. And not only so were we not simply not just justified, friends, we were enemies of God. Amen. When you're not a child of God, it doesn't mean, well, I'm just not a child of God. It means you are, in fact, a child of the devil. Amen. But when we trust in the finished work of Christ, he makes us justified. He gives us a right legal standing before God. We have a right legal standing before God because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for our sin. The wages of sin is death. That's exactly what Jesus did. And when you repent of your sin and you trust in Christ alone, you are legally made right before God, justified before him. And notice we have peace with God. We were at enmity. We were enemies of God. But now we have peace with God. But it's not because of us, but it's through faith in what Christ did for us. We have acceptance before God and we have access to God. Look at verse 2. "By whom also we have access," again, by faith, "into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We have access by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can come boldly to the throne room of Almighty God. The one who spoke everything in the universe into existence. The one who spoke and breathed out the stars that are in the heavens. The one who formed you in your mother's womb. The one who gave you life and breath and every good thing. You have access to the very throne of God himself. Amen. Because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's only by faith and it's only through his grace. And we stand in the presence of God. We are seated together in the heavenlies with Christ presently because of what Christ did. And because of all that, look, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. I remember the night I was saved, and I've told you so many times, but I got to tell you again, that night I was saved for the first time, I knew that I knew that I knew when I die, I'm going to be in heaven with God. Amen. And it wasn't because of me, it was because of what Christ did for me. But there was this assurance that came. I had that same thing that most of you have when you got saved, that great burden, that great weight was lifted off of you and all those things. But I just remember the assurance. I knew that when I died, I was going to be in heaven with God. That incredible assurance that he gives, it's his spirit bearing witness with your spirit. And so in that moment, for the first time in my life, I experienced biblical hope. I hope in the glory of God. I'm going to see the glory of God. I'm going to forever stand in the presence of the glory of God. And that's the hope that we're talking about. And it all comes through the acceptance and the access that we have by faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. And today, friend, I pray with all my heart that you can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. I mean that you know that you have eternal life. Because you are believing and trusting in Jesus Christ today. Now, when we get this faith and we We get this acceptance, we're justified, we get this access, we can come boldly to the presence of the throne room of God. When we get all of those things by faith, it brings about this hope that we have in the glory of God. So not only do we see the acceptance and the access, but notice the advancement. Not only so, verse 3, but we glory in tribulations also. We glory in tribulations also. Now, the Apostle Paul was used by the Spirit of God to pin this, and he says we, that would be him and the others that were with him on his missionary journeys, Barnabas and Silas and Luke and John Mark and others. He said, we glory in tribulations. But he wasn't just talking about himself. He was saying that this is what everyone who is justified in Christ, who has the hope of glory, ought to also rejoice and hope in tribulations also. Now, certainly that's how we all respond to tribulations, right? I mean, when trouble comes, we just stop and praise God, right? But that's exactly what we should do. Amen. You get that call from the doctor and it's not good news, you ought to rejoice. I mean, when there's problems in your marriage or there's problems with your kids, when there's problems in life, I don't know all the reasons that tribulations come. I know this. When tribulation comes to your life, it's either a testing from God, or it's a chastisement from God. Amen. So either bad things are happening to you because there's unconfessed and unrepented sin in your life, or bad things are happening to you because God is purifying you to make you better. Amen. If it gets to you, it has to come through God first. Right. Amen. The word tribulation is an interesting word. They tell me that in biblical days, I read one time that they had a device. It was kind of like a big hammer. It was made out of wood and it was spiked, and they called it a tribulum. And when they would separate the wheat from the stalks, they would pile up their sheaves in the threshing floor, and they would take a tribulum and they would beat it. They would take those piles of wheat and beat it. And what they were doing is breaking off the fruit, the kernels, from the stalks or the chaff. And after it was beaten, then it was winnowed. They would take fans and they would flip it up in the air, and the chaff would blow away and the fruit or the grain would fall back to the ground. And that's what the process that had to go. Listen to me. God has given you his word and you have sprouted up. And if you're following him, the fruit of the Spirit is in your life. But he's going to put you through tribulation to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to put you through tribulation to make you better, to get fruit. Amen. To get fruit from your life. Tribulation comes in a lot of different forms. The word tribulation literally means pressure. It's translated in our Bible a lot of different ways, in affliction and anguish and burden and persecution, or just simply trouble. And trouble's going to come in your life. And I want to admonish you today that when trouble comes in your life, the first thing you do is go to God in prayer. Amen. And you might pray like David, Lord, search my heart and try me and show me if there be any wicked way in me. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm a wimp and most of you know it. But when I get sick, the first thing I do is pray. God, is there some reason I'm sick? Have I sinned against you? Is there something not right? Because I really want to repent because I don't like being sick. And we've got to learn that whether it's sickness or financial trouble or whatever it may be, that God is in control. Amen. And God is working through that tribulation. So we have hope because of our faith, and we're justified by faith, but we also have hope in tribulation also. We glory in the tribulations also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So you get saved, you repent, you trust Jesus, you know you're going to heaven, you think everything's going to be great, then the next thing you know, the blows of tribulation start coming, trouble starts coming, and some of you are like me, and you feel like this sometimes, the harder I try to do what's right, the worse things get. Amen. Anybody ever feel like that? Amen. I've tried to get back in church, I started reading my Bible, I'm trying to raise my kids upright, I'm trying to work hard and be a good employee, and I'm trying to do good in school, and all of those things, you're like, the harder I try, the worst things get, and it makes you want to despair, but don't despair because trouble is to be expected. Don't give up. Don't lose hope because tribulation comes. Don't think some strange thing has happened to you. Tribulation comes to everybody. Listen, we don't read about a greater example of a Christian in the scriptures than the Apostle Paul, and he went through unspeakable troubles. The harder I try, the worse things get. Don't be surprised, but when you go through that tribulation, it brings about patience. Now, the word patience is a compound word, and it literally means to be cheerful or hopeful, and to have cheerful or hopeful endurance. A lot of times we look at the word patience and say, well, it just means endurance, but it's not just regular endurance, it's cheerful endurance. In other words, you're able to go through the trouble and the trials and still have joy. I've not known very many people like that in my life, but I have known some, and they are truly an inspiration to me. I have known people who have gone through unspeakable difficulties. They have gone through diseases themselves. They've gone through the loss of their children. They've gone through incredible difficulties, and they have done it with cheerful endurance. And I praise God for people like that. I want to be people like that. When you go through tribulation, it ought to bring about patience, this cheerful endurance. Now, next he says this patient works experience. When you go through the trial and you go through it with patience, it brings about experience. This experience literally means a test or a proof. In other words, it's a purifying time. Trouble comes and I just keep trusting God, and I know that he's in control, and so I'm looking to the other side and I endure it with patience. I endure it with cheerfulness. I endure it with that hopefulness that God's in control. He's going to bring me through this. When I come through the other side, I've gained experience. How many of you have been married more than 30 years? God bless you. 30 years is a good long marriage. How many of you have been married more than 40 years? More than 50? No 50s. 45. 45. All right, praise God. Isn't that awesome? We got 30 more years to go, babe. We'll get to 45. Sure, it'll seem just like a blink. I'm not sure I'll live that long, Brother Tom. Melissa's not either. Now, those of you that have been married for just say been married more than 10 years, those of you that have been married more than 10 years, would you say that the things that were so hard in the first few years of marriage are not so hard now? I mean, the things that you went through, they say if you can make it through that first year, you can make it through anything. And be honest, how many of you would say your first year of marriage was really hard? And the rest of you are lying. Okay, good deal. No, I'm just teasing. Some of you have had it easy. Yeah, how many of you would say the first 45 have been hard? Okay. All right. There's a lot of people that first year is really hard, those first few years, but I'm telling you that the things that were so hard and the troubles and the tribulations that Melissa and I had in our marriage very early on, you gain experience through those things, and now those things aren't a problem at all. I mean, it's the same thing in anything in your life. You go through tribulation. A lot of you guys like to play sports, and I know sometimes before you know it, the football guys will be out there doing two-a-days, and it'll be 100 degrees, and they'll be killing themselves, and that's really, really hard in the beginning. But before long, after a few weeks, it's not so hard anymore because they, through their patience, through their endurance, they build up experience. Listen, the guys who have been playing ball for 4 years, it's a lot easier for them. Everything's easier for them than the new guys. When you get a new job and you have to learn a new thing, I don't know how it is for you when you learn to do stuff, but I worked for my dad from the time I was 12 until, I don't know, yesterday. And my dad is a lot of things. He's a very generous man. He's a great man. One of the things he's not necessarily is a patient man. And the way my dad teaches you to do something is he shows you how to do it once, and then you're on your own. Amen. Yeah, there's Brother Sean back there. He's another one of those guys. I'm going to pay attention because I'm only going to show you how to do this once, and if you mess up after this point, you're going to be responsible for that. Amen. Right? So no pressure. That's the way it is. I'm going to tell you that the things that I had to learn at work, man, the first day and the first time you do something, it's so hard. It's so difficult. But you got to get through it and you endure. And that first day is so hard. And that first week is so hard. And that second week and the first month is so hard. But pretty soon you've been doing it for a few months. And now what was so difficult, because you endure it, it becomes, by experience, it becomes easier. See, our Christian life, living for Christ, is the same way, guys. God wants us to grow up. And things are going to be difficult. It's going to be troublous times in the beginning. But if you will endure with patience, you can come through and have experience. You come through tested and proven. It applies in our daily walk with Christ. It applies certainly in our marriages. It applies in our family. And when we gain that experience, it gives us hope. Hope that things are going to get better. Jesus says in John 16, 19 through 24, that he explains to the disciples, because he said, I'm going to be with you for a little while and then I'm not going to be with you. And they were very confused about that. And he said, do you inquire among yourselves that I said a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me? John 16, 20, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Amen. Listen to me. Any mother here that's brought a child into the world, listen, having babies isn't a cakewalk. It's not an easy thing. It's a difficult thing. There's a reason it's called labor. The Bible uses the word travail. But listen, you go through all of that, and all of that trouble that you go through is all erased the moment you get to hold your baby. You say, how do you know? You're just a white man. You can't talk about what women go through. Now, guess what? I'm a dad. And I've got a Bible. And my Bible tells me that once that baby is there, the joy overtakes all the sorrow. Listen, why? Because there's hope. There's hope. How can you endure that tribulation? How can you go through that travail? How can you go through the problems and the difficulties of labor? Because there's a baby. You get to hold that baby. And that life is precious. Just for anybody that's wondering, that life is precious from the moment of conception. And if you want to talk about that, I'm available anytime. Jesus tells us that same way, the trouble that you go through in this life is erased by the hope that we're going to rejoice when we see him again. Amen. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus. Amen. I know my Redeemer lives, and I shall see him. In my flesh shall I see God. I have hope. Whatever trouble comes in this life, it doesn't matter. Listen, I'm going to tell you the truth today. Russia could come and invade this country tomorrow. They could team up with China. The United States could be completely different. But at the end of the day, it's not going to matter, because one day I'll see Jesus. Amen. You can lose your health. You can lose your home. You can lose everything you have. And you can still have hope if you have Christ. Amen. And listen, I'm not trying to pretend like I'm not terrified of those things. Those things are scary. But my joy and my hope erases those fears. The sorrows, they don't add up. They don't compare to the hope. And so we have this great hope in Christ. And listen, guys, you can get wound up and worried and scared to death over anything. I know, I've listened to some of you. I mean, some of you worry yourself sick over things that just don't even matter, and others of you worry yourself sick over things that really are of concern. But at the end of the day, I'm going to see Jesus when I die. It's all literally, it really is all going to be okay. I'm not saying you're not going to get sick. I'm not going to say that you're not going to die. I'm going to say that if you're in Christ, to die is gain.
Amen.
Praise God. I've been telling you every week that I'm not preaching to you about having your best life now. The hope I'm telling you is not that I'm not up here to tell you that if you follow these steps that you're going to have a happy, healthy, and a prosperous home. I'm not up here to tell you that. This is not a motivational speech. If you came to Calvary for a motivational speech, you've come to the wrong church. I mean, I want to motivate you to live for Christ.
Amen.
That's about as good as it gets. Because if you live for Christ, the rest of it doesn't matter. Experience gives us hope. Why? Look at verse 5 again. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We know Him. We've experienced His love. Therefore, we have His hope. So the Bible has much to say about hope. Jesus had hope. He was able to go through the cross. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was able to go through the agony and the excruciating pain and all of the burden of bearing our sin on the cross. He was able to go through that because He was able to see beyond the cross. He had hope for eternity. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. That's a good verse to remember, by the way, because if you go out sowing your wild oats and then you come home and pray for a crop failure, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow seeds of the flesh, you're going to get corruption from that. That's the way it's going to be. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The things of God, the things of heaven, the things of eternity are going to come when you live in the Spirit. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Amen.
Friends, you know what that is? That's hope.
Amen.
You get discouraged. Your marriage is hard. You're going through a rough patch. You're not sure if you're going to make it. I promise you, you keep your eyes on Jesus and live for Him. There's hope.
Amen.
There's hope that you can endure. You get discouraged in your marriage. You get discouraged with your kids. Sometimes you go through the sorrow and the moms go through the trouble of bringing that child into the world. That sorrow is erased by holding that baby, but then the baby turns into a teenager. And you go, what were we thinking? Right? And you got this troublesome time, but you can look beyond that if you keep your eyes on Jesus and you train up that child in the way that they should go. There's hope on the other side.
Amen.
That child is going to become a servant of the King.
Amen.
That they're going to give their life to Christ. That they're going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. There's hope in that. Listen, life's hard. Marriage is difficult. Raising kids is not easy. But it's all worth it because there's hope based on the promises of the Word of God. There's hope for children. Hey, kids, if you're still awake, good morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For or because this is right. Some of you want to know why. When your mom and dad tells you to do something, why? Your mom and dad can faithfully say, just like my mama did, because I said so.
Amen.
Right? But listen, it gets better. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is that promise? That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth.
Amen.
God blesses obedient and honoring children. When they honor their parents, He blesses their lives. There's longevity in that. It's one of the reasons I'm not sure I'm going to live too long. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father. There is hope in being obedient. There's hope in keeping the Word of God. Time fails me to tell you of all the other places in Scripture over and over and over, we see that God gives hope. He gives hope to the disappointed. He gives hope to the discouraged and the depressed. He gives hope to the despondent who have gone from just being depressed to being completely hopeless. God gives hope to the disobedient. Peter went out and wept bitterly after he denied Christ, and he came back and was one of the most faithful men you see in Scripture. Who preached the gospel faithfully, who endured great affliction, who gave his very life for the cause of Christ. And there's untold thousands in the kingdom because of Peter. After he failed miserably. There's hope for the disobedient. But I want to remind you again today, there's hope above all. Hope above all for the dead. If you are not in Christ today, you can be. You can repent of your sin. You can trust Christ. And you can have acceptance before God. You can have access to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. A little boy once stood outside the gates of Buckingham Palace in London. He wanted to talk to the king, but he was sternly repulsed by the guard at the gate. He rubbed a grimy hand to his cheek to wipe away a tear, and just then along came a well-dressed man who asked the little fellow to explain his trouble. And when the man heard the story, the man smiled and said, "Here, hold my hand. I'll get you in. Just never mind these soldiers." The little boy took the proffered hand and to his surprise saw the soldiers leap to attention and present arms as his newfound friend approached. Past the guards he was led along carpeted halls through wide-flung doors and on through glittering throng right up to the throne of the king. You see, the little boy had taken the hand of the Prince of Wales, the king's son. Without Christ, you stand outside the gate, filthy. But this morning, if you would take the hand of the king's son, he'll lead you right up to his very throne, where you'll be accepted by him. You take his hand, friend, not by being good, getting baptized, or going to church. You take his hand by faith in his finished work on Calvary. But then after you've taken that hand, then you get baptized and you're faithful in church and you live for the one who died for you and rose again because of the glorious hope that you have in the gospel. Let's stand together. While our musicians are coming, I want you to listen carefully. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that faith grows and gives us hope as we go through tribulation and we gain patience and experience and then we get that hope. But I want you to listen to what he goes on and says in verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Friend, Jesus paid for your sin, but his payment won't apply to your account unless you come to him by faith. If you've come to him by faith, then we need to be growing and growing and increasing in hope by being obedient to his word. If he's convicting your heart this morning, I plead with you to come. You've never been saved. Come and trust Christ as your Savior. You've been saved, but you need to be baptized. Come and submit to be baptized. Become a part of this church. You're saved and baptized. You're in the church, but you're lacking in hope. You need hope for yourself. You need hope for your marriage. You need hope for your children. You need hope for the future. That hope can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give that hope today if you'll come to him. If he's calling you this morning by his Spirit, drawing you this morning, I plead with you to come right now while we sing.